Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Good love. Good love. Good love. Good love. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor,
doctor.
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. Magical Engineer Frank and I have a great show. We're going to be talking about the science is warning us of new animal diseases that are going to be infecting humans. So we've talked about zoonotic diseases before, but there's a list now, and there's a prediction tool they're using. So we got to cover this. We have to let you know. So we're about empowerment here on Herb Talk, so wonderful. Thanks for joining the show. And we have a quack report, and we also have a special guest for the second half of the show. We're going to be talking with vaccine attorney expert Alan Phillips. Now, he travels all over the nation helping people to legally avoid vaccines they don't want. So he's going to be joining us with his specialty and give us some information on what's going on in his world. And that'll be the second part of the show. But before we get to all that good stuff, a big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting this nation up in prayer. Hope you are too. And so tonight's the devotional. We are in Galatians 5, where it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. And in Psalms 29, the Lord will give strength unto his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. I'll take it. And hit the knees, seek the Lord's face, mind time, it grows short, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker. New parents, when they bring a baby home, they lose sleep, right? Well, the Sleep Research Society kind of did a report on how much sleep parents actually lose. So after childbirth, your getting a good night's sleep kind of goes downhill for the first 3 months anyway. But they're finding parents don't recover the lost sleep even 6 years after the baby comes home. So sleep satisfaction and duration lower for new mothers and dads. Women on average lost 62 minutes a night, whereas dads lost 13 minutes per night, basically because breastfeeding falls into that category for women. They're on duty more. But 6 years after birth, moms still were sleeping 20 minutes less and dads 15 minutes less. So sleep deprivation. And you know what I think is driving a lot of that? Because when I had kids back in the 80s and 90s, usually kids were sleeping through the night at 4 months. Now we've got kids not sleeping through the night at 5 years. And a lot of neurologists think it's the vaccines that are messing with the nervous system. I pretty think they're right about that. I think they're right. All right, moving along in the quack report. Famous heart surgeon Dr. Dwight Lundell, who was a chief of surgery at Arizona's Banner Heart Hospital, he is voicing, and some other doctors are voicing their concerns about the statin drugs, a quarter of a million Americans taking statin drugs over the age of 45? Well, he's saying, they're confessing now, the physicians got this wrong, and he's voicing his concern, saying that he recommends that, you know, these medications along with fat-free diets is not working, and they cannot defend that treatment anymore. He says, actually, heart disease is from inflammation due to diet full of sugars, simple carbs, processed foods, and omega-6 oils, causing a lot of inflammation. And then the plaque sticks to inflamed arteries. So it's really the inflammation, he says, we got to work on. So diet is key. I agree with that. All right, last but not least in the quack report, I got some new flexible sensors to help estimate blood oxygen level, especially in areas where you're healing, you know, if you got wounds or anything. So this, these oxygen, oximeters. They're called oximeters. So when you're healing, you got to get oxygen-rich blood to the area to heal. So they want to determine how much blood flow and oxygen are in the tissue molecules in any given point in an area. So they designed these flexible tissue oximeters to analyze those levels. And then healthcare professionals can kind of figure out, you know, how fast your wound's healing. Now, researchers at the University of California, Berkeley, use infrared light that soaks up red blood cells that are rich with oxygen, and also how fast the darker blood cells are absorbing for sufficient oxygen intake. So there's a ratio that they can figure out with these two measurements, and they can calculate your blood oxygen ratio there. But hey, if you want to heal faster, I say, you know, if it's a wound, a cayenne, liquid cayenne on the wound makes it heal, you know, 50% quicker, no scars. So that's what I use anyway. And that wraps the quack report. All right, thanks, Frank. We're going to be talking about science is warning us of zoonotic diseases. They are a coming. So the Public Library of Science, which is a peer-reviewed journal, and it usually has primary research within science in there. Well, they announced November 7th, 2018, of this increase of transmissible pathogens from the animal species to the humans. So we're seeing this huge, rapid increase in these zoonotic viruses that once only infected mammals, but now infecting humans. So these viruses are delivering pathogens the human immune system really hasn't had, and it hasn't encountered before. So healthy immune systems will have the most success at defending against the disease. However, those with weak immune systems or internal medicine diseases will have a bigger challenge. So we have to ask, how can science state, quote, we have an accurate understanding of which virus species are prime for human transmissibility, end of quote. So we're going to take a look at this, see what science is saying about this invasion of our world. Well, they want to predict the disease, and so science is kind of heavy into, you know, marketing the its ability to predict disease. So new studies, blood work, diagnostic tools, computer programs are all said to be able to predict the risk of human diseases far out as 10 years. Now, according to the research that was published in the Journal of Public Library of Science, they reveal that scientists have a gist of understanding, a gist of understanding of what viruses will begin to infect humans because of what they describe as gaps in the disease surveillance and kind of ignorance of how these viruses are adapting or mutating to jump to the new species. So science, since I've read numerous reports on this kind of topic, I feel comfortable saying that science knows how to actually change viruses. They can actually gene edit them and make those viruses infect new species. So once they find that entry gate, how the virus enters a cell and infects it, then it's just a matter of editing the disease for easy transmission to the new species. So, and, you know, they just don't have, you know, millennia of a gene mutation of these viruses to really state, you know, it's really mutating. Thousands of years we're being told it takes for a disease to mutate like that. And they don't have any records going back that far. So it's kind of a educated guess. Well, let's look at the new virus prediction tool. According to the journal article, the research scientists at the University of Georgia, they have developed this computer model running data on about 224 human viruses that have undocumented associated traits to help predict when animal viruses will develop and such traits that would infect humans. So far, the scientists say their system is predicting at about 84% accuracy. So to be clear, the transmissibility trait includes the ability of the virus to infect the human respiratory and nervous system. So they state their model should be used to prioritize those high-risk viruses for future research and for any emerging diseases. Now, to date, they predict there are 47 animal viruses that could infect us humans. So the viruses that they are watching, they state, are going to transfer to humans. And here's the list of the top six. Carnivore Andropovirus. Usually this is a virus from carnivorous mammals like skunks and raccoons. And then there's the Hendra virus from fruit bats and horses, as well as the cardiovirus A from mammals and especially pigs. And then there's the rosavirus A from rats and the human T cell leukemia virus 3 and 4 from primates, as well as the simian foamy virus from primates. So those are the six ones they're watching. So those are the ones they picked out. And it kind of sounds like these six viruses are really under development to infect humans. Okay. So we probably will see a release of new antiviral drugs or vaccines to help combat these specific viruses in the future. So keep your eyes peeled. Well, let's look at the characteristics of the deadly viruses that they're, you know, looking at, picking out, saying it's the big risk. Let's look at what they're looking for. It's important to know what they're, you know, looking for to tweak, genetically modify kind of thing. Now, viruses are smaller microorganisms than bacteria, so viruses need a host cell to replicate in and to spread. Therefore, viruses are more difficult to neutralize because they tend to hide inside a cell. But when viruses infect cells, actually the surface of the cell changes, and your human immune system, very sophisticated, compensates and uses the T lymphocytes, which are capable of recognizing cells that are harboring the virus. How cool is that? All right, so scientific medicine is kind of pushing for the development of lots of antiviral drugs and vaccines. The most deadly viruses today were, get this, originally restricted to animal species. Mm-hmm. So these viruses came from mammals like apes, rats, camels, pigs, dogs, bats, sheep, skunks, squirrels, rabbits, and birds. So a brief list of diseases such as like HIV, Ebola, the Spanish flu, rabies, yellow fever, Marburg, and SARS, they all came from animals, right? But we're told they mutated over thousands of years to infect humans. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they kind of just emerged in the last 100 years. A lot of it did anyway. Majority of it did. Well, what we have here, to be, I guess, kind of frank about it, we have Plague Incorporated. We have Plague Inc. is what we have. Science has published articles on what it takes to manifest a very deadly strain of a viral disease. So the most deadly have a very high transmission rate. People are easily infected with brief contact with an infected person. And what science is attempting to do, and for the most part is on the path of success, is to evoke the creation of a whole world scale, of a world scale epidemic disease. Now, science does not have to wait thousands of years for strains of disease to mutate and jump from animal to human. Science is very capable of forcing that evolution of change in the disease to include human transmission. So science has been using animals to actually harvest viral diseases and modify them for this high transmission capability. Now, you know, a lot of people say, what for? Well, some people would say, you know, for military defense, you know, things like that. But you got to keep in mind there are multiple ways that that disease can be transmitted. Lots of avenues. For instance, you can eat diseased meat or air. Small particles transferred in air, dust, clay on leaves can become airborne and then breathed in. Infection through the pulmonary is a very fast way to infect a person. Or it could be through water. Viruses are very capable of surviving in fresh water, and they can infect fish that you eat. So viruses love moist environments. Also, your blood. Viruses can actually transmit into open wounds and instantly spread through the blood system. And viruses can then actually infect organ tissue this way. Also, insects, mosquitoes, can actually inject viruses into the human dermis via their saliva. And birds and rodents target typically unsanitary places, and then the disease spreads with unsanitary, unclean things. So lots of ways to transmit these diseases. Now, I want you to be prepared. Kind of have your mind blown at this point. When viruses can transmit using all of the above avenues of disease, and it spreads very fast, and it will kill very quickly. Think about that for a minute. So if you ask scientists which avenue is best at spreading virus infections, they're going to tell you stomach irritation leading to vomiting. Vomiting offers a very fast transmission. There's projectile vomit. There's particles in the air, other people nearby breathe it in, people who touch the vomit, so forth and so on. So you may be saying, hey, what about that air and water transmission? Wouldn't that be the most effective? Well, they are very effective, but viruses that penetrate your digestive system weaken the body And there are residue infections which within a month or two can cause more severe health problems and even death. Mm-mm. So to recap, science knows that the most lethal viruses are highly and easily transmissible and have influenza profiles with high mortality. Yep. All right, let's look at the unthinkable virus for a minute. Wrap your brain around this one. The unthinkable virus is not science fiction anymore, really. Very doable. According to chemistry and physics expert David Costiello of the University of Michigan, the influenza and HIV viruses fit the criteria as a potentially lethal virus. So deadly viruses that spread easily, quickly, through body fluids and in which can become airborne are the core pathogens. That's the ones they look for. So we're told, we're not talking about, you know, ordinary viruses, but we're talking about pathogens that can survive, he says, for months on metal surfaces and can lie dormant on unwashed silverware or your children's toys indefinitely. Goodness. With such a virus, at first there are, he says, really no symptoms, as the virus infects human immune system cells and lowers the white blood cell count, which make your immune killer T cells thereby non-existent, kind of canceling out your defenses against the disease entirely. Ooh. So Professor Costiello says that such a virus would infect without our knowledge and could kill nearly everyone within 10 years. And such a disease to kill the masses would mean humans have no natural immunity to it. And it is a disease that did not previously infect humans, and it must come from a mammal species, and it must be a disease that needs editing. Oh, there we have it. So, sort of like, you know, you're probably saying to yourself, why would scientists do something like that? It's sort of like, why climb a mountain? Because it's there. It's because they can, okay? They want to show how smart they are. They want to create something. They want to kind of, I guess they kind of think they outwit God this way. We can take out your immune system, God. Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, they are mad scientists, Francis, what Frank says. Well, yeah. Reprobate minds are like that. Now, I'm not saying all scientists are like that. I'm just saying this is where some of them are going, and they're very dangerous people. Well, let's look at a global pandemic, because this is an obsession of theirs, the global pandemic scenario. A lot of research papers on the real possibility of this global pandemic. And there is so much chatter on this topic. It suggests that, you know, the scientific medical community is kind of obsessed with it. So in May 2018, John Hopkins Center for Health Security actually published research that was titled Characteristics of Microorganisms Most Likely to Cause a Global Pandemic. And here is their prediction of what such a pathogen would look like. All right, so they're profiling the global pandemic killer, okay? It would be transmitted by respiratory, coughing, sneezing, contagious body fluids kind of thing. The incubation period would before symptoms start would be 2 weeks, 14 days. And also you're contagious during that time, shedding off that virus and infecting others. Also, your symptoms would be mild at the onset. And then your mortality rate would be significant. And it would be an RNA rotavirus. They're the biggest threat, sort of like bird flu is a rotavirus. So they're being specific here. So the scientists at Johns Hopkins, you know, took their research from, get this, biological warfare agents and recent outbreaks. And they suggest that such pandemics will be beyond current collective national and international capabilities to control. Here's a quote by one of the lead researchers at Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. His name is Dr. Amesh Ajha. And he says, health security preparedness needs to be adaptable to new threats and not exclusively wedded to the historical notions of such things like the 1918 Spanish flu. He says a more active-minded approach is necessary for this problem to help guard against such events. And we have more than 120 technical experts from academia meeting to discuss the analysis, end of quote. So, you know, it's being presented as, you know, it's coming. We're going to be prepared for it. I don't know if you can ever prepare for something man-made and deadly like that, you know? Because, you know, something's going to happen that they didn't think of making this pathogen, and it's going to be a oh-no moment. So their solutions, though, is, you know, we got to create – this is what the research team says. We got to create more antiviral drugs and have universal vaccines specifically to address RNA respiratory viruses like this. So here's the payoff, okay? They recommend drug companies and medical device companies to optimize the treatments and pursue clinics to do all this under the auspices and promotion of, quote, pandemic preparedness. Well, follow the money, right? This is a money generator. They're creating the problem to sell you the solution thing. And, you know, when was the last time you knew of a drug company that worried about killing people with their products, right? Okay, so basically you got to prepare. You have options. So if antiviral drugs and experimental vaccines are not for you, then you might want to consider improving the health of your immune system and your overall health, because there are many medicinal herbs that offer inhibitors to zoonotic disease science is planning to unleash for the medical industry profit. So the WHO is also encouraging genetically edited combination of diseases to be included in vaccines. And one of the biggest hoaxes ever played on mankind really is the vaccines. They say help create antibodies and protect you from disease. Science has already declared and proven that's false. And your physicians should already know this. And the antiviral drugs will offer secondary diseases physicians will not be familiar with. Now, I use medicinal herbs, which help support, strengthen the immune system, and make its own antibodies for some natural protection, because there's no drug resistance with natural antibodies. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have information they can send you on their full line of immune-boosting formulas. They also have cleanses to remove toxins and drug residues, and they also have that very helpful pandemic kit, all organic. Give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com is the web address, ThePowerHerbs.com. Sorry, healthcare options just became endless. And a quick reminder, today is the last day of the Herbal Detective. If you want to get your secret discount code, go to the website, click on the banner, and it will be emailed to you up to 35% off. So this is the last day for our little Herbal Detective. So get that while the getting's good. And we got to take a little break, but we're going to hook up with Alan Phillips, a vaccine attorney, and see what's going on. We'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough. for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Go green. Herb Talk Live Green. Now with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Back on Herb Talk Live, I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we have a special guest for the second half of the show. We're going to be talking right now with Alan Phillips. He is an attorney, but he has a recognized specialty within his law practice. He's one of the nation's only attorneys that practices solely on vaccine exemptions and legislative activism. So he works with clients and attorneys and legislators and activists throughout the United States concerning vaccines required for, you know, at birth, at daycare, grade school, college enrollment, conditions of employment, military memberships, and immigrants, children for parents, custodies, you know, adoptions. So he travels internationally on various subjects to educate people on these categories. And he's also an author. He has a book called The Authoritative Guide to Vaccine Legal Exemptions, which is an in-depth, informatory book on different exemption categories for your vaccine rights. And he joins us now. Welcome to the show, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing well, Whitney. Thank you for having me. A real pleasure to be here with you.
Awesome. Well, let's just kind of give the listeners a bit of a nutshell. You have been working in this category for years. You're an expert in it, and you've helped people who didn't want to get vaccines for various reasons, whether religious or medical or whatever, and you helped them out. And now you seem to find yourself in kind of a sticky wicket with the North Carolina bar. So why don't you explain to the listeners what's going on?
Sure. In a very general sense, a lot of my work involves researching, documenting, and exposing corruption in the pharmaceutical industry. And there is a lot of corruption associated with what's going on with vaccines. We could spend, as you know, hours just talking about, you know, the information there. But when you call out corruption, you expose yourself to attack. Corrupt people do not like being exposed. So it turns out, and I didn't know this until last couple of years, I guess, North Carolina is known as Vaccine Central in the pharmaceutical industry. We have a $1 billion pandemic flu vaccine plant here, among other things. And I think last I checked, they had 4 of the 5 top vaccine manufacturers that set up shop here, a big concentration in the what they call the Research Triangle and that area in central North Carolina. So being actually the only attorney in the country that does what I do, at least at anywhere near the level that I do it, my whole practice is focused on exemptions and waivers and related legislative activism, and there's just nobody else out there doing this work at that level. There are over 100 attorneys who help clients with the vaccine injury compensation program. When a person or family member injured or killed by a vaccine, the federal government has a program that pays out money for that. There's the manufacturers have no liability, but the government can pay out money. So there's a lot of attorneys involved in that line of work. And there certainly are plenty of attorneys who are aware of the vaccine controversy, a number of them who dabble in exemptions from time to time. They'll work with school exemptions in their state or something like that, but just nobody who does all the different areas I do. And some of the areas I work in, there isn't anybody else at all that I know of who works in that area at all. So very interesting work, unique work, only one piece of a much larger vaccine puzzle, if you will, but I'm the only one who has that particular piece. So the long story short is that a woman in California has made some false complaints against me to the North Carolina bar, and to my great dismay and shock, at least originally, the North Carolina bar picked up on those complaints, has manufactured, literally made up facts and law to build a case against me. And this was so disturbing. I expect to be attacked, but never from the bar that licenses me and all the attorneys in North Carolina. If anything, I would expect my bar to have my back. And here they are attacking me. So I have proof that they have made up facts and law on 2 separate occasions and 2 different people, including the lead attorney at the North Carolina bar. There's about, I think, 17 attorneys employed there and a few dozen other non-attorneys to handle all of the bar business. But most disturbing, these are the people who field complaints against any other attorneys. And they're the ones who investigate and decide whether somebody has done something wrong and should be disciplined. Different levels of discipline, but you get disciplined enough or do something severely wrong, you can be disbarred, lose your license. So I did a little research of my own because it seemed really odd, and I actually have uncovered a number of other attorneys here in North Carolina who claim to have been disciplined and even disbarred based on invented facts. And I've talked to a couple of attorneys who represent other attorneys. with the bars, what they do for a living. That's a whole practice area for some attorneys, and they have quietly admitted, yes, Alan, there's a problem here. So I have a lot of confirmation about the problem generally. I have a lot of direct experience personally. But this saga has been playing out for a couple of years now. There was a complaint a couple of years ago that resulted in the bar issuing what they call a letter of warning, where they say, I advised a woman in California about how to form a nonprofit in California, and her own email says she consulted another attorney for that. And they claim she was a client, but we have 3 weeks of emails showing that we were talking about a business project that ultimately we never worked on, but we were discussing it. No legal advice whatsoever in there, let alone some sort of attorney-client relationship. And I later had a California legal expert look at the emails, and she says, not only is there no legal advice, even if I had given legal advice, that this particular situation qualifies for an exception to the usual rule, and it would have been okay for me with a North Carolina license in that situation to give her legal advice about California law. Normally, you can't do that. Attorneys are all licensed in one or more states or territories, and there's no such thing as a federal law license. We can all practice federal law, and I talk with clients all over the country all the time, advising them about their federal constitutional rights, for example. And I can do that with a North Carolina license. What I can't do is advise somebody in Kansas about a Kansas state law question. And I don't do that. Whenever state law comes up, I work with local attorneys. That's a regular part of my practice. I have probably worked with about 200 attorneys around the country at one time or another in the last, I don't know, 8 or 10 years maybe, and do it all the time. I don't advise people about state law in other states. I can't do that. Well, there was a second complaint filed in 2017. No new information. It's the same woman filing another complaint. No new information. I'd had no interaction with her whatsoever. She had nothing to report that I did that might have been improper behavior.
Well, Alan, let me interrupt you. Do you think at this point that she was a plant?
Oh,
a submarine you or something?
Absolutely, because she originally kind of sprung onto the scene in the alternative vaccine world pretending to be one of us and to fight the good fight against the vaccine corruption and all of that. But over the last couple of years, she has lashed out at just about anyone and everyone in the alternative vaccine community who has any sort of established long-term established recognition as one of the, whatever you want to call them, warriors in the cause, leaders, so forth.
Well, so, does she have any ties to the vaccine industry at all?
Well, I feel like there's a good chance she's on the payroll. She was, you know, hired by them because she was working on this full time. I don't know how anybody could do that otherwise, but I have no information to support, you know, that proposition. Her behavior certainly indicates that she's working for the benefit of the pharmaceutical industry or perhaps layers beyond, you know, that, the cabal, whatever you want to call it. You know, a lot of different deceptions of our day on one level are different issues, but on another level are connected or interrelated in some way. The behind-the-scenes connections are probably quite vast and many. But clearly, even in the unlikely event that she's just a misguided mother who believes everybody who thinks there's a problem with vaccines is crazy and it's just trying to, you know, lash out at people in what she thinks, I'm sure, is a clever way by pretending to be with us. But this is one of the standard techniques for the pharmaceutical industry. They have a whole set of psychological tools to deceive and manipulate people, and they have a different set of tools to contain those of us who realize we've been lied to and are trying to raise awareness and fight this criminal cabal, frankly, is what it is. That's not a euphemism or a conspiracy theory term. I went to the Justice Department website, Wendy, the Federal Justice Department website. I found 55 combined criminal civil fines greater than $100 million, 55 greater than $100 million since 2001 against pharmaceutical companies. Whatever good they may offer, if much of any, they are an international criminal cabal. I mean, whatever label you want to use for it, use. But there's massive criminal corruption. There have been criminal fines as high as $1 billion. That's billion with a B, as in baby boy.
Wow.
It's just amazing. And criminal fines in the hundreds of millions of dollars are actually common in this industry. So, I don't think you need to know any more than that one fact.
Yeah.
To be able to say nobody should ever be required to get any other products, and yet people are mandated to get vaccines and all the different categories you listed at the top of the hour here, at the top of this segment. So it's quite a serious and deep problem. So she filed a second complaint, no new information, and the law says you have to have what's called an allegation of misconduct. They have to accuse me of actually doing something wrong, but they didn't. They said, well, your website says you work with people all over the country, so you must be practicing law without a license all over the country or somewhere. So we want to dig through hundreds of your private clients' personal files and see if we can find anything wrong.
Yeah.
Well, Wendy, they made up facts. They made up facts and law in that warning letter, and I have proof of that. I have support from a legal expert in California. And I have her own email that contradicts what the bar says happened.
Right.
So they made up facts and law. I'm not going to give them my client files. They'll make something up. There's nothing there, but they'll make something up. So I said no. Now, at this stage of the game, it's an administrative proceeding. There's nothing public. It's not in court. And I said, look, I know they have the authority to take my license, but this is wrong. I'm not going to play. As I sometimes joke, I say, look, I was born with a birth defect. It's called a conscience. And I'm just not willing to play that game. I'm not going to roll over and play dead. And if you get an attorney to represent you in this kind of a situation, they will all tell you the same thing. You always do whatever the bar says, because if you don't, it looks like you're trying to hide something. And I said, well, I would do that if this was a legal proceeding, because I genuinely have nothing to hide. But they made up stuff before, so they have proven that I can't trust them with my information, and certainly not with my client's private information.
Yeah, you got a lot of bad faith already on the table,
Absolutely.
I don't know if it would help. Maybe there's a listener out there that's a private investigator that can help you out and dig into this lady's past, to see if she's connected to whoever it is, that's trying to take you down,
Well, it was really interesting. An attorney, acquaintance of mine said, well, let's find out if the bar gets any pharmaceutical money. I mean, there's a huge pharmaceutical presence here.
Right.
And I did a little digging myself and wasn't able to come up with anything. But if anybody else wants to, look into that and let me know what you find, I'd be most grateful. But when I said, no, I'm not handing over my files, I braced myself because I expected to lose my license. It would not have been proper. I would be fighting this tooth and nail till I succeed or die, whatever comes first, whether they take my license or not. That's just – they're going to be exposed. That's the end of the story. The only question is how soon, and am I going to do that from home or from jail? So well, and I'll explain that second part. I am joking, but I'm dead serious at the same time here, I'm sorry to say.
Right.
So when I said no, they didn't take my license. Instead, they sued me. Now, why would they sue me? They can take my license, and they don't have to go to court to take my license. In fact, they rarely sue attorneys, as far as I understand. Well, the reason they sued me is because somebody's ego wouldn't let them just disbar me and get away with not handing over my client files. So if they get a court order telling me to hand over client files, then if I say no, I can go to jail for civil contempt. So that's what's on the table now. Now, we had a court hearing a couple weeks ago. It was not on the client file piece. We haven't gotten to that yet. This was on a preliminary step, something called discovery, which is where parties in a lawsuit get to ask the other side to hand over any documents that are relevant to the lawsuit or answer questions and that sort of thing. And I said, no, I'm not handing anything over. Now, between you and me and your audience, I said no, because they're just going to make stuff up and, you know, file other charges against me or whatever. So I'm not going to play that game. But the argument I had in court was about a conflict of interest, because a little over a year ago, I filed over about a, I guess about a 5 month period or so, I filed three different complaints against them. It turns out that I was required by law to do that. There's a rule that says if an attorney sees another attorney engage in serious unethical behavior, they have to report them.
Right.
And the really ironic thing here is that when you report an attorney, you report him to the North Carolina State Bar. So I'm reporting the bar attorneys to themselves.
Oh, boy.
So you can see where this one's going now, I'm sure.
Yeah, this is a problem. This is the hen watch. This is the fox watching the hen house.
Well, it's an obvious conflict of interest. And what they are supposed to do is take those kinds of complaints and turn them over to some outside agency. Like there was a case where a state attorney general, an attorney in North Carolina working for the state attorney general's office. Okay, sorry about that. Somebody filed a complaint against that person. Now, that's not an attorney who works for the bar, but in the past, that attorney had represented the bar, okay? In the past, had represented them, and that was enough of a conflict for the bar that the North Carolina bar couldn't investigate that. They gave it to the Georgia bar to investigate, to deal with the conflict of interest. I'm talking about attorneys that work for the bar that are representing the bar right now, presently, not sometime in the past, but it's okay for them to investigate the complaints against themselves in that case. So it's really funny. Let me, if I may, just take a couple minutes to elaborate on this, because it's really funny. It's also horribly disturbing and immensely stressful for me personally to have gone out of my way to make sure I never do anything wrong, to be falsely accused and now being prosecuted, and I could lose my license or even end up in jail over it. So it's all very disturbing. But this attorney stands up in court and says, Judge, no problem with Allen's complaints against bar attorneys. We got it handled. What we did is we took those complaints and we gave it to an attorney in the bar who wasn't named in Allen's complaints. And so it's okay. There's no conflict of interest there. Now, Wendy, that's ridiculous on its face, but let's pretend that they could do that and it might be okay. Let's pretend, because even if it could be okay, it's impossible in this situation for three reasons, or at least two reasons. First of all, the guy who's standing in front of the judge and making this argument is one of the people named in my complaints. You think maybe he might have a conflict somewhere there?
Yeah.
Other people named in my complaints are the bosses. Everybody works for these two people, all of the attorneys at the bar. So there's nobody at the bar who could investigate my complaints without investigating their boss. You think there might be a conflict there?
That's a very delicate matter. That can't be handled by them.
It can't be handled by it. There's nobody at the bar that could possibly be free of conflict, and the bar, of course, knows that, and yet they came into court and argued with a straight face.
Well, what did the judge say? What did the judge say to that?
Well, the judge says, oh, no conflict of interest here, Allen. You know, you have 30 days to hand over the discovery.
Oh, my word. Can't you do anything about that?
Well, that's the main point for me being on your show this evening. So there are things I can do, but it's not going to matter what I do. This is a systemic problem. If a judge can actually hear that argument and support it, then the judge is willing to ignore the law to protect the bar. I don't know if they pay him under the table or what. I don't, you know, who knows what goes on behind the scenes, but just making that argument in court is an egregious ethical violation. Yet again, on the part of there were actually three bar attorneys there, so they're all part of this little conspiracy in court. That's just another egregious ethical violation. But they know they can do it and get away with it, so they don't care. In fact, they get off, apparently, on abusing their power. Somebody has an addiction to abusing power and destroying people's lives, and somehow, in some way, in some perverted way, they get a thrill out of it or, you know, get a rush or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not going to diagnose anybody, but clearly these are not mentally healthy people, and that's a problem. So I have to play the game, the lawsuit game, and do the best I can. Of course, I'm going to try to appeal a decision. I don't know if that I can or not, but I'm going to try. I'm going to put a motion together and put all the evidence I have, including this last act of misconduct by coming into the bar pretending – I mean coming into court pretending – that there's no conflict of interest. But this isn't going to fly unless I also have an out-of-the-box plan. And the out-of-the-box plan is a real simple concept, and that is the public has to
Alan?
Yeah.
The engineer Frank has just said, what about an interlocutory appeal?
Yeah, the question is whether or not this qualifies for interlocutory appeal, and I don't know. And, you know, I'm going to research that. Most of the time you can't appeal an order in the middle of the case like we are right now in the middle of the case. But certain kinds of issues can be appealed in an interlocutory appeal. And the general rule there is if it deals with a fundamental right. And if there is a fundamental right here, it's the fact that ethical violations concern protecting the public. And that's not a fundamental right for me. That's a fundamental right possibly for the public. So I'm just not sure how this fleshes out in terms of legal analysis. I have some research to do. So I don't know.
Well, Alan, we got like 2 minutes. I know our listeners are probably upset hearing your story. I know I am. And you're probably – one of the last resources we have if we want to protect ourselves from vaccines on a legal level. So what can our listeners do to help?
Okay. So there's an email address people can write to, send an email and just ask the question, you know, how can I help? And the email address is defendalan, A-L-A-N, defendalan, A-L-A-N, Alan. There's a lot of different ways to spell the name Alan. DefendAlan at protonmail.com.
Okay.
DefendAlan at protonmail.com. Now, this is not me. This is somebody else. And the bottom line is there has to be a massive outpouring of public support. There's going to be a press release probably tomorrow. There's going to be an opportunity to send letters or emails to North Carolina officials and to put a public spotlight on this problem and to say, look, the truth is out, and this is going to be posted on the website. We'll see how long it takes the bar to get my website taken down, but other sites will probably post it as well. And the public can look at this information for themselves and decide whether they think the bar needs to be investigated. But I have proof of multiple instances of misconduct by the lead attorney and some of the other attorneys at the bar, and they need to be investigated. And so I need the public, our alternative health community needs to support us in demanding that the bar be investigated.
Okay, well, we're almost out of time. So it's defendalan, that's A-L-A-N, at protonmail.com. Of course, you have your also website, vaccinerights.com, if people want to reach out to you there and help any way they can. So because every one of us is just one accusation away from being in a situation like you're in, you know?
You're right. Thank you.
Well, we're out of time, but thank you for joining us tonight, and let us know what's happening. Keep us apprised, and we'll also keep you in prayer, Alan. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You take care now. All right, folks, we're out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical attorney before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and until next time, I wish you all to be well.